Hey, Spitwads, hope everyone enjoyed the holiday break, enjoyed that time off with the family. We were ready to pump out some new content for you. Unfortunately, both Andy's house and Owl's house have succumbed to the virus. It is going around there right now. Everyone is okay, but to do our part and stop the spread of the infection, unfortunately, we had to postpone the new episodes of the Spitballers. However, we didn't want to leave you empty-handed, so we handpicked this episode so that your Monday is a little bit funnier, a little put that smile on the face. We will be back as soon as we possibly can. But until then, enjoy this spit hit.
What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
The airlessness.
Oh, I didn't even think that would happen.
The losing the voice. This is so good.
A leaky tire.
It was a leaky tire.
Ding dong.
I am so happy for you going through puberty, Andy, and becoming the man that you've waited 36 years to become.
Let me tell you something. Welcome into the Spitballers Podcast, by the way. We have a great one for you. Would you rather? Is this real life? What you didn't know is making me scat disrupts the voice for the remainder of the show. I've been without a regular speaking voice for almost a month. I have now started to wonder if it's permanently damaged. Like, it will never return. And what happens then?
Well,
the world's a better place.
I have to scat like a prepubescent teenager?
Every time. I remember.
That's tough.
I remember having the same thoughts you had last September when I had some respiratory issues for darn near a month. It's no good. But look at me now. Look at me now.
Well, literally, don't look at you now, because right before the show began, you told us that the room you're in is so hot that you are now. There's a video of this show on YouTube.
Yeah, you can
obviously.
Go watch on YouTube.
And you look very well dressed. I mean, you're wearing a polo. Oh, your hair's done. Your beard seems tidy enough in the midst of this. Circumstances, but you have nothing on really. Whoa. Beneath the top of your shirt.
Yeah, I mean, I would say
Donald Duck.
Yes, that's right. Donald Duck has nothing on me because he at least lets his shirt hang down. My shirt, right? So if you're on YouTube and you're looking, here's the camera. Okay, I'm going down. The shirt, it goes down to about there, which is above the belly. I got no pants on. I've got ice packs under my feet.
This is incredible.
Owl pointed out right before we started recording, he said it's 58 degrees here. Is that true? is that real life?
That is true.
Yeah.
Wow.
You do not actually get cold. It's not possible.
I need to record this in a refrigerator.
What's that old show? Not the Bear Grylls one. There used to be another guy that went out and did like 30. Survivor Man. You would be perfect for that, Jason.
If they put me in the cold, yeah.
Yeah.
Jason survives Antarctica with nothing.
Yes.
With one shirt.
How many jars of peanut butter needs. Do I get? That's all I
know. Oh, my goodness.
But put me in the desert. Put me out in the Sahara. You just watch me actively melt.
Oh, Jason survive for 6 hours.
Impossible.
In a tank. At Spitballers Pod on Twitter, by the way. Follow us there, Instagram.com/Spitballers Pod. Appreciate all the Spitwads out there supporting the show at jointhespit.com. Hope everybody's doing okay. I hope everybody is staying composed. It's a weird time. Nobody is built for this. Nobody knows, what's coming next in terms of everybody being stuck at home.
Introverts are built for this experience, my man.
Like, are they really, though?
Yes, 1,000%. Like, if I didn't have three monstrous children running around, I would be living my best life right now, man.
I laughed at a meme I saw. It was like people normally, and it's everybody on their phones, yes. And they're indoors. And then it's like people in quarantine, and they're out on hiking paths and jogging and trying to be in parks. And it's so true.
Don't tell me what to do.
Oh, my gosh.
But seriously, if I didn't have to take care of three small human beings right now, I would be playing so many video games. I'd be watching all the movies. I've talked about how recently I went through all the Marvel movies again. I would be doing that all over again, and it would be incredible.
Absolutely. All right. Let's get into review.
Reviewasaurus Rex.
This one comes in from Tranquility Ace. 5 stars, much needed laugh. As a critical care nurse on the front lines of the COVID-19 crisis, I needed some distraction in my life. Stumbling onto your show, I found it. The day I found out that I had been exposed to a patient with the virus, I was beside myself. That's real.
That's intense.
That night, I listened to episode 31 and laughed till I cried when you guys were talking like Yoda in the bathroom stall invasion. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You provided good medicine to this man. I love the show and will be a devoted Spitwad listener. Thank you, Tranquility Ace. So much more so than thanking us.
Well, you know what? We are a distraction, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I do need to kind of dial that back because I do think we probably help just so many more people. Just it's sheer number, sheer volume.
We're just here.
Like, I've never felt like so, I've been paid such a compliment to be called a distraction. Has that ever been a good thing until now?
It sure feels good right now to be a hearty distraction. I used to get in trouble at school for that. That used to be something I got yelled at for. Jason, you're being a distraction. Be like, shut up.
Not anymore.
I think that's pretty amazing, first of all. And thank you and shout out to all of the just unbelievable health coworkers. I've been sick over the last month. I was tested for COVID, and I had to go through the process. And I mean, the people that are there are such professionals, and they're putting themselves on the line. So for the genuine thing there, I mean, that is absolutely incredible. Thank you for what you're doing. I'm glad we're a distraction. It's the simple things right now that keep people sane. I mean, I bought a Nerf hoop on Amazon and stuck it up in the middle of our house, and we get to shoot around during the day. That's a nice distraction. Like, that's the level we are, the Nerf hoop level.
I think like we're more Andy. Fart joke, which is a whole nother level. But
that's true. I want to talk about the thing that's not being talked about is you're over there. You had to go. You had to get the testing. But what you weren't thinking about is what did I have to endure because you had to get tested? Like all of us, I'm calling all my friends like, ah, crap, some guy I know is getting tested, everybody.
And they're like, it's not a good feeling.
You're the worst. And I'm like, well, it's not even my fault. They're like, so
I just
very, very selfish of you, Andy. Very selfish of you, Andy.
Look, I saw an interview with, I think it's Daniel Day Kim is his name, and he's from various television shows. He's an actor, and he put out a video. He tested positive. He was filming in New York, and you know, he felt so bad. He had no idea he was sick. He had no idea he exposed anybody, but he had to like come on and apologize to each and every person he worked with because he's like, I had no idea. I was asymptomatic. But and don't get me wrong, when I was going through that, like I've never been through a respiratory illness like this. I was writing down the names thinking I'm going to have to make those phone calls. And so, you know, fortunately it came back negative and that I didn't have to do that. But yeah, sorry, Mike.
I'm just joking, but it's like, it's such a strange thing that people are living through. Cause I'm sure there are people who are listening to this right now who they have a friend, they have a family member who they're going through the testing process right now. And you're like, wait a minute, I didn't do anything wrong. And the person who's being tested, they didn't do anything wrong either.
I know.
It's like, what a freaking crazy world right now, man.
Yeah. So everybody stay safe. Hang in there. Yes. We will get through it. A year from now, we'll look back and, you know, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know that we'll get through it. Let's get into
water.
Some...
Water will be the only resource left. Water and gas.
Thank you. Yeah. Or that. That's one possible option.
There's multiple outcomes here. Just stock up on water and gas.
We're not drafting existential threats this week. That we're saving that for another time, Mike.
Oh,
so
yes.
We can really lean into the demise of the world at that point. Let's get into Would You Rather.
I'm going to get Meteor.
Would you rather?
Wow, I have not seen this question until just now. Micah from Patreon, would you rather be in prison for 10 years or in a coma for 20? That is an incredible question. Because in the coma, you're obviously not experiencing any of it, but you lose another 10 years of your life.
Prison,
right. Prison. I'd be in prison for 2 years because
do you make it to 10?
There's also repercussions, though. Like, you come out of prison, you're a convicted felon, getting work, getting jobs. Also, whatever put you in prison is going to have an effect. You know, did your family move on or not? You know, if I guess, but in a coma for 20 years, I mean, did your family
move on? Yeah, your family's moved on.
Whew. That's, I mean, 20 years in a coma. I think we've all put ourselves in that situation where you know, you think about what it would be like to wake up and try to acclimate to a new world.
I saw
people that were, just speaking of the current pandemic and where we're at with COVID-19.
The coma people are the lucky ones right now. Am I right?
Oh my, that's not what I was going to say. But what I was going to say was that there are some people that were hiking. They did a 25-day disconnection in the Grand Canyon.
It was Jared Leto.
Oh, he was one too, right? Yeah, I heard there were some people.
I had heard about Jared Leto, actor, singer from 30 Seconds to Mars, who's like legit. I mean, he's a different cat. You look at him and you hear him being interviewed. You know, like, he's he's an outsider. But apparently he came back and had no idea this was going
on. It sounds like a joke. I mean, these people, someone drove up to them in a car after 25 days and told them, hey, guess what's going on? And they had no idea.
The world is in chaos.
I mean, because it's still hard. I think denial is like half of the equation here. But prison for 10 years, I mean, that's tough time. In coma, you're not doing anything. You're not fighting for your life, probably. We don't know, I guess. Imagine. You're saying that some could be happening in the coma?
Well, sure.
I'm just saying, like,
maybe you're eavesdropping on everybody and... Ooh. You know, you're hearing everything all around.
I'm not
you.
Even talking about eavesdropping. Like, maybe you're in a fever dream. We've all experienced that dream where you're like, this can't, what I'm enduring right now can't possibly be real, but it just keeps going and going and going. What if that's 20 years?
Yeah. I have never had a fever dream that is what you describe. Is this a common thing?
What, you've never experienced a dream where you felt like this, it can't be reality?
Well, I mean, I've had dreams which all feel that way, but I mean specifically like some sick fever dream that's like over the top bad or something like that, as you're describing. I've never had that.
Wait, you've never had a nightmare in your life?
Yes, but not caused by a fever or a like a coma. Is that just
well, I've never
that's a very common. I mean, you've never had a coma. You've never been in a coma, is what you're saying.
I haven't been in a coma. That's what I'm trying to describe here. Yet.
Look, I've never been in a coma, but I have had several fever dreams. I've also had the pizza dreams. Eat a pepperoni pizza right before you go to bed. See what happens.
So are you telling me that a fever dream is just
pepperoni
a synonym?
Pizza?
Pepperoni pizza is great. And I'll eat it before bed. I'll eat it right when I wake up. I'll eat it. I will go a full 24 hours of eating nothing but pepperoni pizza, and I'll sleep like a baby. In fact, I'll sleep better than ever because my body will not be able to metabolize. I'm just gonna be in that coma.
I'm officially going to prison. I'm not going to, you know, you put me before this choice right now, or I mean, this choice is before me right now. I'm not missing 10 years of my children's lives. Regardless of whether I'm separated from them or have some connection, I'm going to prison.
The interesting question to me would not be the 10 and 20. If it's 10 and 20, I'm going to take, because you're losing 10 years of life. You know, by taking this. But if it was 10 years in prison or 10 years in a coma.
Yeah, if it was 10 and 10, what would you do?
If it was 10 and 10, I think I would go coma side. Because
of course you take the coma.
No, not of course, because you would, at least from prison, you'd be still like meeting with your kids and seeing your kids. Your kids lose you for 10 years. In the coma.
I feel like they lose you for 10 years either way.
Not the same.
You might
though.
Get a couple.
You can't
check-ins.
Write them a letter from your coma.
But what, do they lose respect? Do they lose?
Do they read that letter?
Exactly. Do they hate you because you've gone? I mean, who knows? I don't know. I don't know.
I
how
went
that would
to
go.
Prison for tax fraud. I'm going to a nice prison.
You're at a tennis club.
I'm hanging out. Yeah, this is not a big deal.
Wesley Snipes.
That's
teaching
right.
You some ninja
yeah, the guy
moves.
From Survivor, who is that? Richard Hatch. Yeah, we're all there. We're just chilling.
I'm taking the coma because there's one thing I'm probably elite at, and that is sleeping. So
do you
I'm
lose
gonna say,
weight in a coma?
Oh yeah,
oh yeah,
because
I mean,
muscle weighs a lot, and you're gonna wake up and be the weakest man alive.
Do they move atrophied. You? Do they like roll you around and stuff in a coma?
I think they do.
Not like like all day.
Like going down the hallway. Watch out. Coma patient coming through. Somersaults.
You want to hit the Wendy's, bro? That's Bill.
But they move you around.
Look at that grassy hill.
Just. This is not the first coma conversation we've had on Spitballers either. Because I remember that Jeremy, Al Borland, was looking up the longest coma patient.
Oh, yeah, that's
that had
right.
ever woken up. And then he just told me they died. They never woke up.
Look.
Why am I laughing at this?
I don't know.
It's a time to laugh.
I'm going to prison.
I'm going to sleep.
And Mike,
up.
What are you doing?
Oh, man. I'm so torn between what I believe I could get done in that 10 years, between what I would actually get done in that 10 years, or just 20 years of sleeping.
No, 10 and 10.
I'm taking the sleeping. It's way easier.
All right. How old's your oldest right now? 10?
About to be 11.
11. All right. Come back as 31? 31-year-old?
That'd yeah, well, it's, yeah.
All right, David from Twitter.
Yeah, you're right, 31.
Ugh. I know, that's crazy, right?
Hey, those are the years I got to go to prison.
Yeah,
oh,
I switched him at the last minute.
But David, if it was 21 and you get out in 10,
yeah,
then you miss those. You miss the pubescent voice years that I'm going through right now. David from Twitter, would you rather never be able to use a remote for your television or have to send every text and email using Siri dictation? No phone remotes. So basically, like, we're old enough. I'm 36. Mike, I think you're 37. Jason, 38. And
yep,
I had a Sony TV growing up for the first however many years, and it had, you know, like 10 buttons. It was channel 3, 5, 8, 10, 12, you know.
Wait, and did it have buttons or did it have a turn dial?
No. It was buttons. It was one button per channel. It was just up the side. And you'd get up and you'd turn it on and you'd turn it off, and that's how you lived life. And so I remember that.
But that
I don't
thing
know which
went
one's
to 99.
Worse.
That thing went to 99. It didn't go up into the 700s.
I know. That's the problem.
Yeah, because here's the thing is the dial that, you know, the old school thing where you had the turn dial, you could turn it to any channel in the blink of an eye walking up there. Now, like, I think about I've got like a Cox Communications cable box hooked up to my TV. There's not even a button on there. There's no buttons to change a channel. So this is if I lose the remote, I just can't. But if you've got the bigger box, like one of my TVs has the buttons on the cable box, and I would have to push one channel at a time to get to 722.
I'll take the coma.
Yeah.
So
that'll
I don't
be
think
20
that's...
years before you get to your channel anyway.
I just don't think that's possible to lose the remote. I mean, because TVs aren't made for that now. Like, the buttons on them can't get you where you need to go.
I mean, I think you presume in this situation you would be hand dialing the on, off, and the channel. I mean,
so like you have a numeric pad?
The irony is, I use my remote's voice function to go to channels. I never type the channel in. I always say go to 313 or go to 334. So I use the Siri dictation for the remote.
Go ahead, Jay.
So have either of you actually used for real conversation or in any situations where there's been a back and forth text thread where you have used Siri dictation or, you know, I know we're all iPhone users.
Not successfully.
So it would be Siri.
Yeah, not successfully.
This is where I was going to go. Our producer, Al Borland, I see him using voice to text all the time. And I watch him do it and I go, what are you doing, man? This is how you live your life? And so you can chime in with this, Al. Am I wrong? You use the dictation all the time.
I do. Yeah, I got used to using it in the car and it's just, that's what I use.
Yeah, wow. You really...
Like, I watch him reply like, yes, I do. I'm like, what? Hold on. This is more efficient than just quickly typing in, yes, I do?
Well,
like
this
is a wild world.
Here's an example. We recently got the AirPod Pros, right? So those have like the text communication in them. I was at a grocery store having my new AirPod Pros in. I'm walking around and there's this weird beep that I've never heard before. It's like doo doo doo. And I was like, what was that? And it goes, text message from
it's
Tiffany.
A sale.
It was like, text message from Tiffany. And it's like, hey, make sure you pick up some eggs. This was like a month ago or so. This was before all the worries and the shortages. This was just a normal grocery trip. And then Siri says to me, she goes, you can text back by just saying, you know, reply back or something like that. And so I tried it. I was like, okay, yeah, I tried it. And I said, you know, oh, sure. Do we need milk and butter? And then what she said, one moment. Did you mean mollusks? It was just like, it was like
legs and water?
Right. It was like, I can't
mollusks
send
and
this.
Butterflies?
This is garbage. So I was all excited to use it, but I don't think that's possible either.
Does Al Borland just have a soothing, deep voice that just Siri can understand?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Here it comes.
You know I do.
Oh, no.
There it is. But where's the music? Where's the music? Oh my
goodness. This is going to show up here. Oh no.
What's up, Spitwads? How you doing?
Remote recording has brought with it some, you know, special things.
What's up, Spitwads?
Mollusks and starfishes.
This is a tough one though, because I don't know. I think I could live with the Siri dictation and learn how to do that well. I'd probably text less though.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to take the Siri dictation because over time, it's going to get better. Over time, yeah. Remoteless TVs are not going to get better. I mean, maybe you can get to like Alexa dictation where, you know, you're telling her.
I'll tell you what's going to increase is Jason Moore popping up on my telephone because he's calling me.
That's yes, right.
100%. Phone calls will return. If I can't text properly, it's going to be like, I just call the guy.
All right, Clark from Twitter, would you rather be chewing 5 times as loud or have your breathing be 10 times as loud?
Oh man, so you're either Darth Vader or the world's most annoying person.
That's look, I'll jump in here. This is terrible. As a man who lives with, I'll project conservatively, I have probably 30% nasal airflow at any given moment of my life, which means by definition, I apologize, I am a mouth breather. So yes, when people use that phrase as
you're a literal and
a
figurative
slur, I take offense to that because I don't have a choice.
That's right.
I'm a smart person, but I have to breathe through my mouth, and so I'm always like conscious of, am I breathing really loud right?
Oh my gosh. I've never thought you breathed loud.
What? I know, because I'm always thinking about it. But if I can't control it,
you're constraining.
And it's 10x, you're just
wow.
You're just gonna hear me in the corner.
Oh,
so you
my goodness.
Now, real quick,
why do you breathe like a goat? Like a goat mating.
I don't know.
Why is mouth breather like a pejorative term to mean stupid? Like what? What does that mean?
I think it's like breathing. You're like breathing wrong. Mouth. You're breathing incorrectly.
Yeah. I always took it to be like you're a caveman. Like you're so uncivilized that you have to breathe through your mouth, even though it's probably allergies.
All right. Well, Mike's
I just
mouth
looked
breather.
Up the definition of a mouth breather. Here it is. Noun.
Oh,
a
no.
Stupid person. That's
yeah,
it.
So you should take offense when they call you a mouth breather, Mike.
Now, listen, Mike, I need to, here's a little caution for you. Mouth breathing is, let me define it for you. It's breathing through the mouth rather than the nose. It could cause gingivitis and halitosis, bad breath. So some more things for you to be thinking about.
Oh, great. Great. It wasn't bad enough that everyone's calling me stupid. Now I've got halitosis.
Stupid
you got bad
people
breath.
With halitosis.
All right. But chewing 5 times as loud. I mean, do you ever eat in public or are you like, how do you hide that volume of chewing?
But here's the thing. If you're a respectable person, if you're a respectable person, you chew with your mouth closed. Okay?
Right.
And if you're chewing with your mouth closed, you know, it's kind of like that whatever you multiply times zero is zero. I'm not worried about 5 times.
That's not zero. You should be. You're not. You are not properly using exponents, my friend.
He's a little
bit. This isn't to the fifth power. This is times 5. Just 5 regular times louder.
He thinks he has a fully soundproof mouth, obviously. And look, I would be just drinking soups, right? You don't got to chew a soup. That would be your choice.
But then you're slurping.
Do you want to know what I don't?
Be louder? Dang it.
Do you want to know what I don't always do? I don't always chew throughout my day. I'm not, right now, I'm not chewing at all. And I do this whenever I'm not eating. But I'm always breathing. And so 10 times as loud, everyone's going to be concerned. I'm going to walk everywhere. Everyone's going to be like, dude, are you okay? You know, everybody trying to give me the Heimlich because I'm like, everywhere I go, okay. Nobody can take me seriously.
Jason convinced me because you breathe all the time. You can make a choice. You can be more selective with the chewing.
Yeah, you're not eating chips anymore. You know, you're not eating carrots. But if I'm eating my soggy cereal 5 times louder, I'm fine. SpaghettiOs saves the day. Yeah, you can multiply my chewing of SpaghettiOs times 25. You wouldn't hear it because I don't have to chew it.
You just
Jason, aren't you
going
to eat that? I've got to wait about 25 minutes for it to soggify.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Mike, your final answer?
I've got to take the chewing. We've already been over this.
All right. All right. Let's move on. We've got a special segment today.
Spitwads, with HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep so you can skip that trip to the grocery store because it's the worst of places that I rate worst in the United States of America. Like, the grocery store is way up there. I don't want to be there. And HelloFresh is helping me avoid it and giving me the opportunity for some home cooking, making it easy, fun, and affordable. They are America's number one meal kit for a reason. They help you cut back on the time spent in the kitchen. They get you in there making a meal in around 30 minutes or less. Plus, they have quick and easy meals, including 20-minute recipes. You know I like that. And low prep and easy cleanup options. It's 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality. You can save on average over $65 per month when you order HelloFresh instead of grocery shopping. They offer flexibility you need to easily customize your order online or in the app. Easily change your delivery date, your food preference, your plan. Like, skip a week if you need to. HelloFresh is here making sure you're eating the right way. Go to HelloFresh.com/Spitballers16. Use code Spitballers16 for, get this, up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Once again, for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts, go to HelloFresh.com/Spitballers16 and use the code Spitballers16. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
Is this real life?
All right, in this segment, we bring you a very unique and special news story that each of us have found. The other people do not know about it, and we get the reaction to it. Now, no better time than now to be asking, is this real life, right? Living in a weird day and age. I will bring you my story, okay?
Okay.
And get your reactions to this. Here's the headline of the story. Doctors discover booze brewing in sober woman's bladder. And this story...
Wait, what?
Doctors discover booze brewing in sober woman's bladder. A 61-year-old... This is kind of sad.
She's her own brewery? she
inadvertently. She's 61. She was on a liver transplant list. They denied her transplant because in her urine they discovered there was alcohol. They sent her to a medical facility for alcohol abuse treatment instead of giving her her actual liver transplant. She kept insisting that she wasn't an alcoholic, and eventually they discovered that her bladder was brewing alcohol, and she suffers from what I listen to this. She suffers from, quote, urinary auto brewery syndrome.
that's not real.
Urinary auto. They couldn't get the scientists for that one.
Brewery. Her urine was so filled with sugar and yeast, which are the two key ingredients for fermentation, because she's also a diabetic, they finally found out that her bladder was producing alcohol.
What proof is this? Is this like, my urine's 40 proof? Here, try this for a good time. She could, I mean,
she
go
was
into
able
a business
to bottle
for herself.
Her urine in exchange for the liver transplant. No, that part's made up. That part's
goodness.
Made up.
Goodness, that's unbelievable.
I can't have that. I suffer from bladder makes birritosis.
Auto brewery syndrome.
Oh, man.
What?
So no.
She's back on the list. because they found out this, and it says her case demonstrates how easy it is to overlook signals that urinary auto-brewery syndrome may be present.
She's back on the list? Like, she's they didn't even get moved to the top?
No, I don't know why.
Sorry, lady.
You got to start over.
Back to the end of the line.
But on the bright side, you can brew your own beer right now. just drink some water. Out comes beer.
Unbelievable.
Don't worry.
Okay.
We'll call it Miller Lite.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, Mike, what you got?
All right. Well, apparently we have a similar situation because mine is man eats underwear to beat breathalyzer.
Wait, to absorb?
He's absorbing the alcohol in his stomach with his underpants?
So first and foremost, I have to say this, ladies and gentlemen, children who are listening, drinking and driving is not a joke at all. But this guy is a joke. So we have a man in Canada who was pulled over, and due to his quick wit and thinking, he thought, what do I do? Because I've had a couple libations. How do I make sure that I blow the legal limit? And his thought
choke
was,
to death?
I will rip out the crotch of my underpants.
Wait, it wasn't a Walmart shopping bag that I just bought underwear, or I always keep a spare pair of underwear in my glove box because I'm a monster. It was, I'm taking off my currently used sweaty underpants, and I'm going to...
The culprit ripped the crotch of his shorts, stuffed the fabric in his mouth, and then he eventually spit it out. He did not actually get it down to complete the actual scientific
experiment. So he didn't get out of it?
Oh, my goodness.
Kids at home, you make very bad decisions when you have overindulged on alcohol.
But the thing is, he actually hadn't over. He was under the legal limit. He just freaked out and decided that I'm going to chomp this underwear of duck butter and see what happens.
When I'm in a tough situation and I'm panicking, eating my own underpants is not at the top of my list.
It's like fourth or fifth.
That guy is a total mouth breather. So, I mean, for sure. And he was worried about the breathalyzer as a mouth breather.
You want halitosis, eat your underpants. I'll tell you that.
Oh, my goodness. I feel like you don't need a breathalyzer at that point. It's just like, sir, did you just eat your underpants? Step out of the car.
You've been arrested.
You are under arrest for eating your own underpants.
I've never asked this of anybody. But have you by chance eaten your underwear? And the funny part about this is when they actually got into the courtroom, they had to like dismiss everybody because they started talking about the evidence and no one in the courtroom could handle it because the dude ripped the crotch of his underwear and tried to eat it.
Now, hold on. I would bet you right now that I could not rip the crotch of my underwear off. I could try. I'm in my underwear right now. I could not possibly rip the crotch of my underwear off. There's no way. It's impossible. This guy's the strongest man alive.
You're not desperate enough. You're not desperate enough.
Oh, man. You put that police officer in my rear view mirror. Do I get super crotch ripping strength? That was overlooked. The fact that this guy could even accomplish a feat such as this.
Oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable. All right. You guys got your circus caps on for this one?
Yeah, we have our circus caps on.
Exactly. All right. Here it comes. My headline is canine attacks cow. Cop tases canine. Cow injures cop during a burglary investigation where there was no burglar. I'll read it again. Canine attacks cow, cop tases canine, cow injures cop during a burglary investigation where there was no burglar.
Paper, rock, scissors.
This is hot potato.
It's 100% paper, rock, scissors. Oh, you got a cow. I got a canine.
Cop beats canine, canine beats cow, cow beats cop.
Yes, exactly. Apparently this police officer was called out to a burglary investigation. It turned out there wasn't a burglar.
While
he was there, he takes his police canine unit out of the car, and the dog's totally distracted by this cow. So he just goes and attacks this cow. And I'm just saying, maybe they need to invest. Is that cow like stuffed with, you know, some kind
right.
of? Yeah, maybe that canine's doing his job. So the canine's doing his job because that cow is clearly stuffed with contraband. And the cop comes over and tases the dog.
He missed.
You might need to.
He missed? You think he was aiming for the cow? He's like, oh, no, Roger.
He's trying to pull Roger off the cow?
He's trying.
Who's Roger?
Roger's the canine. Dog. I just named
We've named the really, dog.
You really threw me off naming him a human name.
Well, what are you? I mean,
Steve.
What
Yes, he's
dude.
The best Wait, dog Steve names dog. Are human names.
Richard. Yeah. Richard the dog.
No, that's weird. First names aren't dog names very often, are they? No, like Barkley.
Scout would work.
Yeah. Hmm. Anyways.
Back to the story.
Back to the story. So he tases the dog, which that surprised me that this yes. cop would be like, hey, you're my partner. Because they're partners, right? The canine unit is considered a partner of the police officer.
Yeah, that cow is gone. If I'm the cop and that's my cop dog, that cow is sorry.
You let the dog eat the cow.
I mean, imagine that you're
let's make burgers.
Mike, if you and I were police officer partners and we go up to that burglary and you look over, I'm punching this cow and I'm just like boom, 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 boom. Are you tasing me?
Or no, like, I'm saying all right. I guess that cow did something really bad.
Exactly. So but then when the cop came to get the dog off of him, the cow fought back and injured the cop. He kicked the cop.
Oh my goodness.
So there's the headline. This is the world we live in.
That is glorious.
That's spectacular. Man, that made me laugh. All right, let's draft.
Spitwads, are you wanting to change your career? Look, there's never been a better time to become a programmer, and with Codecademy, you can learn to code on your own terms. Trust me, you can learn to code. It seems like a wild, wacky language that you could never possibly get into, but I promise you, you jump on Codecademy, they will give you the building blocks, the skills you need to learn how to code. Over 50 million people already know that Codecademy is the best way to learn to code. That's because Codecademy not only teaches you job-ready coding skills, but also helps you build unique projects for your portfolio, earn certificates, and even prep for technical interviews. I know that we have gotten our kids on the Codecademy. Andy's gotten his kids on there, helping them develop a lifelong skill that they can take into the future and really open up opportunities, really limitless opportunities when you know how to code. Languages like Python, HTML, CSS, SQL, JavaScript, and more. If you're not sure where to begin, Codecademy will point you in the right direction. You can get instant feedback. Your code is tested as soon as you submit it, so you'll always know if you are on the right track. Join over 50 million people learning to code with Codecademy and see where coding can take you. Get 15% off your Codecademy Pro membership when you go to Codecademy.com. Use our promo code Spitballers. That's promo code Spitballers at Codecademy.com to get 15% off Codecademy Pro. It's the best way to learn how to code. Codecademy.com. Promo code Spitballers.
The Spitballers Draft.
All right, today we are drafting the most unsanitary things. Now, this idea came, I believe, from Jason's wife.
It did. She thought that this was timely and funny and disgusting.
It is all of those Perfect. Things. I have the first pick. Now, I don't know if there's a one-on-one because I've never drafted most unsanitary things before. There are a lot of things that gross me out. There are a lot of things I wouldn't want to put my hands on or be around that are very unsanitary, but I will take what I envisioned as the most nightmarish situation possible, which is, of course, a horrible, disgusting porta-potty.
Mm, yeah,
a porta-potty is so unsanitary.
So gross, man.
There's no way that would you can't describe something good about a porta potty. You don't.
Well, you know how like
nice handle. No, it's an unsanitary handle.
When people rent a car, they don't treat it like it's their car. You know, they're like whatever happens to this car, it's not mine. I feel like that's what happens with a porta potty. People say this isn't my bathroom. I don't care what goes where.
Yeah, because regular public restrooms are already very gross, and then you take it to a new level with the porta potty because nobody's cleaning them. There's not a crew that comes in halfway through the day and tidies up a porta potty. That thing
is fully anonymous. Like there's not other people in there.
And that's here's true. The thing. Here's the thing. If you've got to go, let's say you're out at a construction site, right? And they've brought in porta potties because there's no plumbing there. I would so much rather go in a bush than in that porta potty. It's not even that's when you said, Andy, there's nothing good you could say about a porta potty. You can't even go, oh, good, I can go to the bathroom there. No, it's like I can go to the bathroom anywhere I want by comparison of walking in that death booth of.
You just don't want to get arrested.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So porta potties, that would have been that is my 101. That's definitely all what right. I would have.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
Mike, you're
up. It seemed like the easy 101 with the outhouse. Number two, I'm going to go with something that it's called dirty for more than one reason, but there is the phrase dirty money.
Interesting.
And that's it's talking about something else, but the fact that it is just a cesspool of germs. Think about money. When you touch money, are you washing your hands before? And like when you have a handful of coins, do you know how disgusting your hands feel right after that? Like go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I feel like money is a trick because it's like your phone. Like we probably all don't sanitize our phone enough. Like it just is there. And money is like, I don't know if I've ever thought about it that way. Like you're right. You're 100% right. But I never think about it as being that gross.
Have you looked at a coin that was made in 1967?
Ugh.
Do you know what kind of action that coin has seen? It has seen things of unspeakable horrors.
It's been in porta potties, probably.
100% dug out of porta potties.
1,000%.
There is not.
Like that could have seen a digestive tract. You don't know what that coin has been through in its lifetime. And you're just like, yeah, here it is. Let me give you some money. And then someone else is like, perfect. Let me hand you some money. It's disgusting.
It's gross. It's pretty darn gross.
It is foul. Money is very, very foul. You know what else is foul? Someone's got to do it, so I'm going to do it. I'm taking poop. Okay, because there's not much more.
He's going right to the source.
I'm going right to the source here. You're worried about digestive tracts. You're worried about porta potties. You want to know why you're worried about both those things? Because poop. Look, there's nothing that I would want to touch out there less than poop. So I mean, you want to talk unsanitary things?
You don't have like a thesis. There's no thesis, no five-page paper as to why. It's just
I
inherent.
Don't need a big backup plan here to defend the fact that poop is unsanitary. The other thing that I think is a commonly used item that I believe most people are well aware of how disgusting it is, because years ago, I would say a decade ago, started all the local news stories where they thought, oh, someone else did this and this sounds really great and is also disgusting. Let me go out and test our local grocery shopping carts. Those shopping carts always test positive for fecal matter, for just everything that you couldn't even fathom, because you're putting babies with diapers in there. You're not washing your hands like you should, and you're touching this, and a million people touch it.
Do you think that we are living in, because of this whole crisis, we will come out of this, and like 20 years from now, we'll look back and say, remember when we used to shake hands, and we used to, like, all these unsanitary practices? Do you think we will look back and,
possible.
Like in Japan, some things haven't spread as much because in Japan they bow and they already wear masks. They have like wash sinks at the entrance of a lot of houses in Japan because they just wash their hands when they get home from places.
Why
should
don't
do all
we
that.
Bow? That's awesome. I've been seeing all these like touch each other's shoes. Well, I mean, look, we
need to
make
up our own thing.
For hundreds of years. This isn't like a new invention. Hundreds, thousands.
But it's like the imperial system versus metric. Like we won't conform to what you do, even though it's clearly superior.
I would love to. Like, I don't want to bow, but I want to be bowed to. Does that make sense? I don't want to say that out loud. Gosh. But
do you
like,
pump fake your bows? You pump fake yours, and they just bow.
I just,
and then you're like, "Why? Thank you."
I slowly start my bow while I connect eyes with them until they go, "Oh, we're bowing." And then as soon as they start, I stand up. That's our thing.
I think
but no,
the
bowing
shortest
is awesome.
The shortest always bows to the tallest. That's why. That's what I want to implement.
Uh-oh.
Ooh,
that's not good for Al Borland.
Oh no!
Aren't you and I the same height, Jason?
No, we are not the same height.
It's the public understanding of it. Yeah,
that tall people think that.
Okay,
tall.
So you got poop and shopping carts. Back to Mike. He has money so far.
All right, and Andy, I thought you were going to spoil the pick for me. But it's phones. It is phone. It was 100% your phone. Let me ask you this. You sit down to use the porta potty. I'll use your picks. I'm in an outhouse because I am taking a poop. What am I doing in that outhouse? I am playing on my phone. Now, afterwards, what do I do to clean up?
Nothing.
I
put it in your pocket.
I wipe. And look, maybe my phone went in the pocket before. Maybe it went in after. Who's keeping track of these things? But then afterwards, I wash my hands. I don't wash my phone. My phone is now covered in all sorts of just fecal matter and all sorts of disgustingness, but I never ever think about washing my phone. It just goes right in the pocket because it's safe there. And then I pull it out and everything is all over my hands once again.
You're 100% right. We all use our phones when we're in the stalls, but if we see somebody on the phone at a urinal, they're gross. That's the funniest thing about it.
100%.
What a hideous beast you are. You must be a mouth breather.
Who would do that? I mean, honestly, when I walk in and someone is using the urinal and they're on their phone.
Hold on, I got tweeted at.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
okay, that's good. It is very unsanitary. Yeah. All right, so back to me. I've got porta potty. I've got two picks now. And, man.
It's getting rough.
This is tough. Here's what I'm going to go with. Because I was trying to think of situations that I think would be nightmarish. You know what I mean? And ultimately, if you told me I had to sleep in dirty hotel sheets from somebody else that was there before me.
Okay.
Yeah, dirty right, hotel rough. Sheets would be
all right.
Unbelievably gross. Like having to, all the imaginations of how dirty those could be, that has to be on my list. So that's my first pick. And I'm going to throw a little curveball out there.
Okay.
I shouldn't because I doubt anybody would pick this. But I was thinking about how absolutely unsanitary it would be. I mean, desperate times. We have people preparing for the apocalypse right now. Buy your bottled water. But how about drinking water from a stagnant pond? How unsanitary would that be?
That's not sanitary.
Yeah, that's generally unsanitary. It's full of worms.
People die from... Like the biggest, I think, killer in the world is, or at least close to it, is
pond water.
Is pond water? No, it's unclean drinking water.
Yeah.
So I thought that was in my head, absolutely disgusting. Not that it would be picked by any of you, but we'll go stagnant pond water.
Oh, I've got one that I just can't wait. I just can't wait, and I know nobody's going to take it. I can't wait.
Ooh. Now you've infected my brain, Jason, because I have one. That, oh gosh, Jason, you are a terrible person for putting this.
Because now Mike's trying to find which one to steal.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm trying to play the draft of what's actually going to come back to me. I'll take the chance. I'll take the chance that the one I'm thinking of will come back to me. And I'm going to go with, it's something that they always tell you, that this when the flu season is here, make sure you are cleaning these. It's simple. It's easy. It's doorknobs. Uh-huh. Doorknobs are absolutely disgusting because you're not thinking about how dirty your hands are when you're opening the front door. You don't think about that. Like I have, like right now, you know, we're living that weird, crazy life of is the virus on cardboard packages? When something gets delivered to my house, is it, what do I do with this package that's out front? Meanwhile, I'm just like, door handle, crank, not a problem. But how is it not a problem? Because it could be covered in germs. It's always covered in germs.
You haven't started in your house doing door kicks for every entrance? That's why I just, boom!
Wait, how are you kicking open your front door from the inside?
With a very strong kick.
How does he rip the crotch off of his underpants? Nobody knows.
I pretend that a police officer's in my rearview mirror, and then, boom, that door's open.
All right, so doorknobs, Mike, yeah, it's a good pick. I mean, you're right. Jason, you got a couple.
All right. Well, the first one is going to be
easy
here. Don't
take the one I want.
No, you won't have this. Everyone's going to want it. And we've talked about it before on this podcast. But I'm going to go ahead and take the bathroom carpet.
Wait, hold on. Are you taking bathroom carpet? Or are you taking
It's a bathroom mat.
A bathroom mat.
No. I am taking carpeted bathroom.
Carpet I'm taking the bathroom.
The carpet in a bathroom. It's not every bathroom, but we saw plenty of pictures of people out there like they have a carpeted bathroom. We talk about how foul and filthy. And because you want to know what you could do with your bath mat. And what we do at our house, we have bath mats. We wash them. We throw them in the wash. We throw them in the dryer. You know what you can't do with your carpet? You can bring in like a shampooer at best, but you're probably not doing that. And it, I mean, that what
if
is
you step,
foul?
If still you full step of on a moist carpet,
oh,
a
no,
moist
don't use
bathroom
that
carpet,
word
and it,
bathroom
between
carpet.
Your toes, between your toes, the water seeps up into
squishing
there.
Squishing it around.
I mean, I know that you can't really catch anything through your toes, but it seems like it.
Oh, it's not water. It seems like it. I'm definitely taking a carpeted bathroom.
All right.
We'll call it like that, carpeted bathroom. The next thing I'm taking, look, this has been a problem right now that we're all going through. I'm going to take an airport because you have millions of people from all across the globe. Whatever is anywhere is at the airport. It's a central hub for unsanitary nature.
All right.
So you're sitting in a seat that a thousand other people have just sat in, and okay, we're going to this Broadway show and someone sat here yesterday. This is like someone was sitting here 30 minutes ago. Someone was sitting there 30 minutes beforehand, and you're just constantly changing. Then you got to go to the bathroom that everybody, you know, airports are just foul. They're the hubs that spread everything. So I'm going to take my carpeted bathroom my airports as unsanitary things.
So you have poop, shopping carts, carpeted bathroom, and airports.
I love that I drafted
just poop. You just drafted poop.
Just
Mike,
poop.
You have money, phones, doorknobs, and one left, and I'm pretty sure you're going to steal mine that I should have taken instead of stagnant pond water, but go on.
What we shall see. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a slow motion video of this particular act. But let's set the scene here, right? It's someone's birthday.
Yeah.
And there is a tasty treat that everyone is going to enjoy, and it's covered in candles. And how do you get these candles? How do you douse the flames?
You spit
of
them
this
out.
Out of this candle, you blow them out. And when you watch the slow motion saliva just go all over that birthday cake, it is foul.
I have never seen this. Is that these are videos that are out there?
The Japanese must not blow out candles.
There's absolutely no way. What's so funny, like a perfect callback for this episode, Andy, you had to go take the COVID test.
Yeah.
And like a week before you had to go do that, I had a birthday party, very small birthday gathering with two couple friends of mine, and it was a birthday, so they made a birthday cake, and I literally made like a comment about like, should I be blowing out the candles? And this is the world weeks ago, so I was like, yeah, okay, I'll blow it out. I then had to text my friends of, hey, my buddy's getting COVID tests, and the first response from my friend was, oh dear God, the birthday cake, because everybody ate it. And if I had it, my germs were all over that birthday cake.
Are you telling me that when you blow birthday cake candles, you're spitting on it?
1,000%. That is what I'm talking
about. I mean, if you think about it,
we're talking about children.
You are.
Yeah, it's usually children
blowing on
this. And
it's normally multiple blows, unless you're like a pro, unless you're a professional. Yeah, that was actually on my short list, Mike. It was.
Okay.
I'm going to close it out with something hyper disgusting. Which is dirty gym equipment.
Poops poop.
Dirty gym equipment.
Oh, yeah.
If you have to go use a machine that is covered in the sweat of another human being, that is an offense punishable by death. I mean, if you can catch that person, they should be instantly forced to spend 10 years in prison or 20 years in a coma. That is a just disgusting... I mean...
It's
gross.
Funny because when you said dirty gym equipment, what I immediately
thought of was
my dirty gym clothes after I've changed and they sit in that bag. And they're you could wring them out. I mean, that's stop
a
that breathalyzer test
Who
in its
Who put mushrooms
tracks.
In my gym bag?
Who it's, put mushrooms in my gym bag?
Yeah, that
that's
would
right.
Be.
The next time you look in there is a whole ecosystem. Oh, this has been a disgusting and wonderful draft. porta potty, dirty hotel sheets, stagnant pond water, dirty gym equipment. Mike has money, phones, doorknobs, and a blowing out the birthday cake. Jason has poop, shopping carts, carpeted bathroom, and airports. Well, look, one way or another, we're giving you things to avoid here, right? We're trying to keep you safe by way of drafting these things away from you. Don't That's even right. bother with them.
Don't touch them.
Don't touch them. All right.
What did we learn today?
I learned that it was possible to rip the crotch off of your underpants. I didn't think that that was something that a person could do without tools.
I learned that dog beats cow, cow beats cop, and cop beats dog.
Oh, man. I learned so many things today. I learned that, you know, to keep coma patients safe, they might roll them down the hallways. But in truth, I learned that Mike is a mouth breather. We've worked together for better part of a decade. I did not know you were a mouth breather.
I hide it well.
Yeah, yeah. There's a whole community of them out there that they meet up.
We have support groups. You're right.
Yeah. By the way,
it's
did you
really
guys,
loud.
Do you have any honorable mentions on the unsanitary things, Al? Anything that you were? I had dirty utensils from a restaurant still written down.
I had remote controls and purses.
Yeah, gas pump handles and shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had handrails, but that goes along with doorknobs. But you guys got a good list there.
Yeah, not. Thank you. Thank you, Al. I agree with you.
You just come up with other bodily fluids. Vomit.
public bathroom floor. Yeah. Jason just names actual things.
Yes.
Viruses, bacteria.
bacteria.
Super unsanitary.
Bacteria is very unsanitary.
Take care,
everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Check out jointhespit.com. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers Podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com. We'll be right back.